The Trump administration has dramatically cut the number of refugees allowed into the U.S., and the president is considering going further. This could impact groups like the Rohingya. They're a persecuted Muslim ethnic minority from Myanmar. Many fled to Bangladesh and Chicago. The World's Tanya Karas has this story, and she's with me in the studio. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Carol.
Now, Tanya, I understand you want to introduce me to somebody.
Yeah, let me introduce you to Nasir Zakaria.
So help me God. Thank you. I'm so happy today. It's going to be a new life, new future. I never been in citizenhood my life. So today is first day.
So what are we hearing there?
That's from his naturalization ceremony this summer. He actually grew up stateless as a Rohingya refugee. He's from Myanmar. He spent a lot of his life in Malaysia in exile. And then he finally became a citizen just this past summer.
And how did you meet him?
I met him through the Rohingya Culture Center in Chicago, which he actually founded in 2016. And that was a couple years after he was resettled to the United States as a refugee.
So you say he founded the Center for Rohingya. What goes on at the center?
The center is basically a community space for the growing Rohingya refugee population in Chicago. It's a place where they can come to learn English, they can get childcare for their children, and they also can take citizenship classes in preparation for their U.S. citizenship interviews.
That's interesting. And how did he decide to create the center?
So he had kind of this epiphany one day. He got a letter from the U.S. government and he realized that he couldn't read it. So he walked into a restaurant and he asked a random person to read it to him. And then he thought to himself, wouldn't it be great if Rohingya people like me just had one place where they can go and get help with everything?
My people, they need help. So what we're trying to do, we discuss with friends.
And so he did some fundraising and he started this center.
That's amazing. The Rohingya minority in Myanmar or Burma is something we've been reporting a lot on this show. And I have to ask what his own experience was like there.
He lived in constant fear of being captured by the Myanmar army. And that was what he says happened to him. He says that as a child, he was taken by the army and he says that he was forced into slave labor. And that was a reason why he left his entire family behind and fled to Malaysia. And that was where he spent a chunk of his life as a refugee until he was allowed to be resettled to the United States in 2013.
I want to get back to Nasir and how he prepared for his U.S. citizenship test. What did he do?
Well, it's thanks to Susan Chestnut. That was his teacher.
Your people, about the Rohingya people, and about how hard all of you are working to become citizens.
Developed a curriculum of a citizenship class for Rohingya refugees, and she teaches it at the Rohingya Cultural Center in Chicago, the center that Nasir founded. And what she told me was that she basically had to go to the very basics of what it means to be a citizen.
They don't have a concept of citizen because they are not citizens anywhere. So they have no idea what this means.
And it is a special class for a population that has never been literate, even in their own language. They don't know how to read and write.
You know, it was like how to hold the pencil, how to make a letter, how to form an English letter.
And she just kind of decided to do this on her own?
Yes, and Nasir asked her to do it. He went around and he found her. And, you know, they talk about all kinds of things. They talk about holidays.
We did Halloween. We did Thanksgiving.
Susan literally had to prepare people who have never had any vocabulary to describe what happened to them, even in their own language.
Yeah, genocide is when a large group of people is killed or gotten rid of just because of their religion, just because of their ethnicity. That's all. Ethnic cleansing. Yeah. And it's what's happening to the Rohingya people.
Susan brings up genocide in that class. Why is she bringing that up with the Rohingyas?
Well, that term, it comes up on the application for U.S. citizenship. The form asks whether you have experienced genocide. And so for this population, it's something that they have to be able to describe to a U.S. citizenship officer because in the Rohingya perspective, this is what they are currently experiencing at the hands of the Myanmar government.
Yeah, I mean, ethnic cleansing at the very least with hundreds of thousands of Rohingya being forced out in just the last few years. Most are in Bangladesh now. So what's next for Nasir now that he's a U.S. citizen?
Well, he told me he can finally start thinking about his children's future.
My children can go to school. I have future for my kids. So this is important for me.
The thing about being a refugee, what many of the Rohingya at the center described to me, is that they are only thinking day to day, hour to hour, week to week. When they come to the United States, they can see a little bit of a future on the horizon. But when they actually get that citizenship, that's when they really feel, okay, now I have a permanent place, I have a permanent home, I'm a citizen, and I can stay here forever. I can build my life.
The World's Tanya Karas. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Carol.
Learn more about Nasir's journey from stateless refugee to U.S. citizen at theworld.org. And there's one more note to this story. Nobel Peace Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi could face prosecution for crimes against humanity. A new United Nations report says the Myanmar civilian leader has failed in her responsibility to prevent genocide.